Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the latest Hawks Talk podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from CSN Chicago. Before we get started with former Blackhawk great Steve Conroy, if you can't get enough of Chicago sports, visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNshy. Steve Conroy, you see him on WGN's coverage as well as Comcast Sportsnet's pre, post-game, in-between periods. How you doing today, Steve?
I'm doing great, Pat. How about you?
I'm doing great. The Hawks, nice win last night against the Minnesota Wild. The Hawks have now won 8 of 9. 7 straight on the road, 2 wins in 13 days in St. Paul. What has stood out most to you over that stretch?
Well, first off, I just love the way they're playing, and I'm sure the coaching staff and Joel Quenneville in particular has got to be really happy about it. I think the biggest thing is just that, you know, everyone's contributing. And I think at the beginning of the year, you'd be the first to recognize that on some nights it was just one line going, and it was normally the Patrick Kane line, and we were getting a lot of goaltender wins, which meant the goaltender was absolutely standing on his head, and sometimes we were stealing 2 points. But, you know, that's not been the case the last, you know, 8, 9, 10 games. It's been all 4 lines, and it's been all 3 sets of defense, and everyone's getting their minutes, and everyone's contributing. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is just it's been a real team effort, and it's been a real team game. And when you can spread it out like that and get scoring from a lot of different areas, and, you know, you talked about the 7 straight wins on the road. The last four wins on the road, they've all scored 5 goals in each of those games. And in all 7 of those games, they have scored 4 or more goals. So, you know, the offense is clicking. And, you couldn't have said that over the first, you know, half of this season. But it's certainly kicked into gear now. And I think they're only going to get better because the young guys are getting better every game, and that's where I see the improvement.
And so are some of the old guys, including the captain, Jonathan Toews, with his 4th career hat trick on Tuesday in Minnesota. Now 20 points over his last dozen games. Why the turnaround in Toews' production, Steve?
Well, I think it's been a number of factors. He puts a lot of pressure on himself. I think he's finally healthy, and we saw him injure his back. I was in San Jose when he hurt his back and had to come out of the game halfway through the second period. He came back after, I think, an 8 or 9 game absence, but I don't think he was 100%. And we all know the captain. I'm sure he was pushing himself to get back in, and, you know, he probably wasn't at 100%. So I think that's totally healed. I think the fact that now he's played with, you know, Richard Panik for a while now, but Nick Schmaltz in particular, the last 9 or 10 games, they have great chemistry. They read each other very well. They're a complement to each other, whether it's puck protection along the boards or cycling the puck down low or playing the speed game or playing a physical game too, because, you know, Schmaltz is a pretty good sized body. He's not overly physical, but, you know, he'll take a hit to make a play. And, you know, I think those things all add up to Jonathan Toews, you know, playing a lot better. And I'll go back to something he said a couple of weeks ago, and I think he was being really critical of himself when he was not producing point-wise, and he said, I just realized that I wasn't playing the way that made me successful in the past, and that was, you know, possessing the puck, dominating the puck, and moving my feet. And you just watch him on the power play now, and that's the essence of Jonathan Toews. He wants the puck, he gets it down low, he protects it, he'll take a hit, and he'll also take it to the net himself, too. So, you know, I think all those things, you know, you factor them all together, and that's why he and that line have had so much success these last, you know, whatever it is, 3-4 weeks.
Line combinations are never in stone with Joel Quenneville, although, you know, you'd say Patrick Kane and Anisimov and Panarin are the closest thing to that. But with Panik and Schmaltz, do you think Toews They found the right line combination for him, and this could be the one we see teed up in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I think so, and I mean, you know, you're only as good as your last game, and that's the way that Joel Quenneville looks at it. So we know Joel. He's not afraid to mix it up if things go dry or if things go south, but I think right now he realizes what he has in his lines, and that's balance, and it's some goal scoring too. I mentioned the number of goals they've scored of late. You know, you'd be hard pressed to find teams who put up those kind of consistent numbers, especially on the road. And all those games I cited, you know, the last four with five goals per game, they've all come away from the United Center. So I think Joel sit on it for a little while. And, you know, with the young guys especially, whether it's Nick Schmaltz and Richard Panik's relatively young because he hasn't played in the NHL a whole heck of a lot. And I look at our, you know, third or fourth line, however you want to designate it. You know, we got three rookies there, Tanner Carroll and Ryan Hartman and Vinny Hinostroza. And those guys really, you can see the improvement each and every game. And I know Ryan Hartman's been the best of them the whole year, but I see a lot of improvement in Tanner Carroll's game, and I see that improvement too in Vinny Hinostroza. So, you know, you're going to see that improvement. You're going to see that line getting better. And the longer they play together, the more chemistry they'll have. And, you know, that's just a huge advantage. So I think right now Joel's got to be happy with what he has. Yeah, he might stick a Jordan Tutu in there, or an Andrew Desjardins in there just to give them a little bit of a taste. And, you know, it's also a carrot for them, and it's a little bit of a whip for the other guys too because, you know, you never want to get complacent in the NHL. So I think for the most part, though, these lines will probably stay together from here on in.
And I think we might also see the future Hall of Famer Marian Hossa moved around a little bit to make him happy if things aren't going well with, say, Kruger and Rasmussen or whoever they have him out there with. Beating Minnesota twice in their building in less than 2 weeks. You know, we know the Hawks have beat the Wild three times in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but considering that Devan Dubnyk had beat them, what, eight straight times in the regular season, how important were those two wins to the psyche, to this, you know, well-traveled Hawks team, well-accomplished team, if they end up meeting in the playoffs, and it certainly looks like they're on a collision course to me?
Well, you know, had they lost both of those games, I'd say it wouldn't have mattered. So I guess I can't be two-faced about it and say it means a lot. But I just think psychologically, you know you can beat that team. And listen, in the playoffs, they've never really had a problem at the Minnesota Wild. It's been well documented. In fact, the last time they played, I believe it was four games straight that the Blackhawks, you know, knocked off Minnesota. But I think everyone realizes this Minnesota team's a different team this year. They lead the Central Division. They might end up winning the Central Division, but I don't think that matters to the Blackhawks. I think they realize that, you know, what matters is you got to win your last game, and especially when you're talking about the playoffs. And as long as you win your last game, you're going to be in the. You're going to, you know, continue advancing. So, as far as catching them, you know, I think it's still a possibility. What is it? 5 points now, and you know, Minnesota still has a game in hand. It's going to be tough, but it's still possible. I think on that front, that was probably the most important thing, to win those two games. You know, to get, as Joel put it, within the same area code. So they're within the same area code now. If they don't happen to win the Central, I don't think it's going to break their hearts. But they've got that confidence now in the back of their mind. We've beaten those guys. We've beaten one of the best teams in the NHL, and we've beaten them in their own barn these last two trips up there. So, you know, that's a feather for your cap, and it's certainly something to build on.
What areas of concern do you have for this team, or what things would you like to see cleaned up the last 21 games before the playoffs begin?
Well, I think it's still got to be the penalty kill. You know, we've seen a huge improvement in the power play. We've seen the penalty kill at times getting better, but, you know, again last night, you know, they give up a couple of power play goals to the Minnesota Wild, and I'm sure that's going to push them down in the standings. That they might have gotten up as high as 24th, 25th, but, you know, when you're in the bottom five in the NHL in a category, that's never a good thing unless it's penalties taken. And they are in the bottom, you know, bottom four or five of penalty kill. And typically, you ask most coaches, that's a pretty good indication of how you're playing defensively. And I don't think that's necessarily the case with the Blackhawks, but, you know, you don't want to be afraid to take penalties. You want to play with a little bit of an edge. You want to play that game where you're being aggressive, And if you're worried about taking penalties, I think you take your foot off the gas a little bit and you change your game. So I'd like to see the penalty kill improve. And I think that's about it. Team defense 5-on-5, it's just been fine. I think it's been really good. I think the only area that I'd be a little concerned with is the penalty kill.
Coming up, I'm going to ask you whether or not Joel Quenneville is getting enough credit for keeping this team in cup conversation every year. And do you think Stan Bowman is going to make a trade before the March 1st trade deadline? That's next on the Hawks Talk podcast.
CSN Sports Talk Live podcast brings you the freshest takes and boldest insights on the hottest topics of the day.
David Kaplan leads the conversation with a rotating panel of writers, reporters, and personalities.
Don't miss a single episode. Subscribe at csnchicago.com/podcasts today.
If you travel out of the area for work, no worries. Take the Blackhawks on the go, no matter where you are within the continental United States. Stream every single CSN Blackhawks game live online at csnchicago.com and with the NBC Sports app on your mobile device or tablet.
It's sports. It's social. It's viral.
It's Luke Stuckmeyer and Layla Rahimi, and it's the Next Generation Sports Show.
In the Loop, every night at 6:30, 10, and 10:30 on CSN Chicago.
And as soon as the show ends, turn to Facebook Live for the after show.
Back on the Hawks Talk podcast, Pat Boyle and former Blackhawk Steve Conroy with you on this episode. Steve, Joel Quenneville won his 400th as the Blackhawks head coach. He's, of course, the longest tenured coach in the league right now. He's second all time to Scotty Bowman in wins. But, you know, he's only been NHL Coach of the Year once in his career, which is somewhat mind-boggling. It's hard to think that the second winningest coach in NHL history could be under the radar. But do you think he gets enough credit for keeping this team in cup conversation every year?
Well, probably not. And, I guess other coaches would say, gee, I'd love to have the team that the Chicago Blackhawks have and have had. But that cast of characters seems to change every year. And it's, you know, the reality of being in a cap-strapped era that, you know, there's going to be guys coming and going, and you're going to try and hang on to your core as best you can. So the fact that he's typically seen 5, 6, 7, 8 new faces a year, I think that says a lot about him. And I'll never forget, Mark Bergevin was instrumental in getting Joel to come to the Chicago Blackhawks when he was let go by the Colorado Avalanche. And I remember Bergie saying that the one thing about Joel as a coach, and he had him in St. Louis for a number of years, is that he makes guys accountable. And, you know, sometimes that's tough to do when you've got a lot of superstars. And I guess it was different for Joel because the superstars he had, whether it was Taves or Kane, were relatively young at the time, so they were going to listen to their coach. But and even older guys coming in now, and whether it's a Marian Hossa or, you know, Brad Richards a couple of years ago, he makes guys accountable by playing defense first. You know, not taking stupid penalties, being disciplined on the ice, but paying attention to defense. And if you follow his guide defensively, you can improvise all you want offensively and do what you want. He'll take the handcuffs on, but he's very structured inside his own blue line, and I think that's where he's probably made his biggest impact on these Blackhawks. They're very good defending, especially 5-on-5. And Joel will be the first to tell you that's how we get a lot of our offensive chances is off our defense, and he'd be the first to tell you that that's how we've won our 3 Stanley Cups. We've defended better than all the teams we've played, so. You know, getting back to the crux of your question, Pat, I don't think he does get enough credit. I think people look at who he has on his roster, you know, who his stars are, and they think, you know, that's a pretty nice roster to have. But it's also some egos you have to deal with. Not that any of these guys have huge egos, but listen, most superstars want their ice time, and he does a real good job of you know, handing out those minutes. And you mentioned Marian Hossa just, you know, recently in this conversation. You know, here's a guy who's used to being a first or second line forward. He's a third line guy now and sometimes relegated to the fourth line, depending on what kind of a game it is. But Joel still finds ways to get him his minutes, whether it's on the power play, penalty killing, or sometimes he'll move him up to that first, second, or third line. So he's got a real good feel behind the bench for, you know, his players and how to be fair. But I think more importantly than anything is how to make guys accountable.
Let's talk about the D pairings quickly. It's been lately, you know, Keith Chalmerson. We saw Kempe Seabrook, Brian Campbell, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk. With Roosevelt being the odd man out, he's getting close to returning. Gustav Forsling being the odd man out. Do you see the six that I mentioned as being the six we'll probably see in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I love the way that Joel's handing out the minutes. I mean, he still leans on Chalmerson and Keith the most, obviously. But if it's, you know, if it's a one-sided game, he's not afraid to put all the guys out there. And in fact, even in close games, you know, and some would consider Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Brian Campbell our third pairing. You know, I think four or five of the last six or seven games, they've had more minutes than Seabrook and Kempe. So, I mean, that shows you that there's a lot of equality there amongst our, you know, fourth, fifth, and make that third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth defenseman. So I've loved the D pairings. I don't think, you know, Stan Bowman does make a move. He might try to add some depth to the back end. I don't think it's going to be a guy that's going to replace necessarily any of the top six. And I've liked the way Mike Roosevelt's played when he's been in there. And he's a guy who's getting older, and he's not going to be able to play a lot, but you know, if they need to rely on somebody who's a little more physical, maybe had some experience, which Michael Roosevelt has had, they're certainly not afraid to call his name.
Let's check out Twitter for a Blackhawks fan who has a question for you, Steve. Matt Barbado asks, how much should this past month's performance influence Bowman as the trade deadline looms? Maybe more likely to keep status quo? What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's right. You know, I looked at it a month ago, and I was hoping we could add somebody to help Jonathan Toews kind of get out of his scoring funk, whether it was a Patrick Sharp or you know, anybody who could play the left side. But that has changed in these last, you know, 3-4 weeks, whatever it's been, since Nick Schmaltz has played with him and Richard Panik has been there a little bit longer. But all of a sudden that need is not so urgent anymore. So I'm not looking at our top two lines anymore, maybe depth, but I believe Stan what he said. Stan said, I think, a couple of weeks ago that he wasn't looking to make a change. Obviously, if you can make your team better, you're going to do it, but I don't think there's going to be a lot of people floating people out there unless they want a steep price in return. So I'm happy with the team we have. You know, he might add somebody for depth, whether it's a third or fourth line winger or a sixth or seventh defenseman, but I don't think you're going to see a shakeup in the top six forwards.
Great stuff, Steve Conroy. We'll see you Thursday night when the Blackhawks take on the Coyotes. You can catch that game on CSN Chicago. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Pat. Anytime.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Hawks Talk Podcast. Can't get enough of Chicago sports? Visit Chicago's own Vivid Seats to receive 10% off Blackhawks tickets and all other sports, music, and entertainment. Go to vividseats.com/CSNShop.